محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. If you remember, we were discussing the story of the people of that garden, that their garden was destroyed because they were not thankful to God and because they wanted to prevent the poor to come in. The story was invoked to say that we are testing the people of Mecca in the same way that we have tested the people of that garden. Inna balawnahum kama balawna ashabal jannah idh aqsamu layasrimunnaha musbihin. When they sweared that tomorrow we are going to gather the fruits. And if you remember, I said that they had a father who passed away. They were five brothers. And the father was very generous and looking after the poor. At the time of the harvest and fruit picking, he allowed everyone to come, have some share of it. And when he passed away, four of these sons said that our father was fool doing this. This belongs to us. Why should we allow others come? And we have the power to prevent others. This is our effort. This is our property. And one of them, of course, objected, but they did not listen to him. So when the day of fruit gathering came, they went, فَانْتَلَقُوا وَهُمْ يَتَخَافَتُونَ. They were whispering to each other, أَلَّا يَدْخُلَنَّهَا الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِسْكِينَ, that today no poor should enter into your garden. You would not allow. And they were very powerful in preventing people to come. Maybe they had employed other people, guards, to prevent people to come. And of course, because they had this intention, overnight the whole harvest, the whole garden was destroyed by a visitation, as it said, a visitation from your Lord. Some disaster, something happened. And when they arrived there, they didn't recognize that this was their garden. When they saw it, they said, whoa, we are lost. This is not our garden. This is not our place. And then, of course, gradually they realized, "Bal nahnu mahrumun." No, this is our garden and this is our harvest, which is destroyed. And, of course, they realized that they were wrong. That modest brother told them, did I not tell you? قَالَ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ لَوْلَا تُسَبِّحُونَ. Why do you not do tasbih of the Lord? And then they said, yes, we were rebellious, we repent, and we hope that Allah will give us something better than this. أَسَى رَبُّنَا يُبْدِلَنَا خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا. Now, the ending verse of this story was كَذَلِكَ الْعَذَابِ. Punishment is like that. وَلَعَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. And the punishment of Akhira is more grave, is greater. I wished they would have known. They would have known that Azab al-Akhirah is more painful. Now, what we discussed last week was that, first of all, the whole purpose of this punishment was to somehow bring them back to what is there in their benefit, a realization. Now, if this is not done in this world, if this realization is not achieved in this world, then it is left for the other world to realize. And for that realization, a greater punishment is needed. وَلَعَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ The punishment of Akhirah is greater. Now, there are some people who do not realize that they have to submit to their Lord. They have to regard themselves equal to others as one among many. So they kill, they suppress, they oppress, they plunder. Now, what sort of punishment these people are going to receive to come to a realization that they shouldn't have done these things? Sometimes, even through the whole eternity of punishment, they do not realize it. And that is the plight of those that Quran says, "Hum fiha khalidun." They are going to stay there in hell forever. And sometimes in the middle of the way they realize, but the pain is there. Just imagine how painful this punishment was for these people. Every effort, everything they had spent on this garden, it was ruined, destroyed. Actually, it was a sort of turn of fortune for them completely. But unless this would have been the case, they didn't come to the realization. So it's painful. Punishment is painful. However, it seeks a greater objective. It doesn't seek revenge or something like that. It seeks a greater objective. And that objective, if it is not achieved in this world, then if it's left for the next world, it is going to be more painful even. لَعَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُ Now, couple of questions related to this story. First of all, they were people who wanted to have the full share of their property for themselves, the full fruit of their garden for themselves. What has that to do with tasbih? قَالَ أَوْسَطُهُمْ أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ لَوْ لَا تُسَبِّحُونَ The modest one, the more moderate son, told them, did I not tell you why do you not glorify your Lord? So what is the relationship? Now, this is a deep insight into the nature of human being. If we regard whatever we do in this world independently coming from us, if we think that we are the source of or the in control of things, if we think that we are the one who initiate and accomplish things, then we have in a way ruled out the power of God. We have in a way attributed to God powerlessness. We have attributed to Him that He is not in control, it's us. So in a sense we are not glorifying Him. So some exegetes here have said that لَوْلَا تُسَبِّهُونَ means that you thought that you own these things while Allah has made you to own them, to use them properly. So tasbih here is a very, very sort of general, is used in a very general meaning. It is not tasbih by the tongue, and this is very important. We may morning to the evening, we may say subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. But in our action, we may not do tasbih at all. We may do the opposite actually. The opposite of tasbih we may do. Because tasbih is to think that everything is in hands of God. It is God who makes us to possess things. And at the same time, He is the possessor. It is Him to whom the thankfulness and shukr is due. So this is the act of tasbih. Now, these people were not doing this, so they were not doing tasbih. So the son said, the brother said, Alam aqul lakum lawla tusabbihun. Also, another habit which had developed in them during all these years when they were with their father, they thought that if a favor is bestowed upon them, if they are given something that belongs to them completely, and the poor has no right in it. Now, this is again, in a way, an affront to Allah, thinking that Allah favors some people against others. No, Allah says, نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًا. If you see some are rich, some are poor, you know why we have made this system? So that some employ others. If everyone were poor, we didn't have capital, we didn't have money to employ, to work. If everyone was rich, again, we would not have worked for each other. We have made this difference so that people employ each other. Collectively they work. But do not think that if you are rich, the poor has no right in your property. I mean, for example, the zakat which we have to pay, or the khums that which we have to pay from our money. This, Allah says, this is the share of the poor in your money. This is obligatory. However, besides that obligatory, there are other rights that you have to pay. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ مُحْسَنِينَ. You know what? When Allah describes the position of the muttaqin in gardens beside him, إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ. They are in gardens and springs. Why? إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ مُحْسَنِينَ. They were good doers. What was their good acts? كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ وَبِالْأَسْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفَرُونَ. First of all, they had full attention to thanksgiving to me. At nights, they slept a little. At sahar, before dawn, they offered thanks and they asked forgiveness. This is one. Their connection to the Lord. وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. And in their property, in their wealth, there was a right for those who asked and for those who were deprived. So for those who asked and for those who were deprived includes both the obligatory and non-obligatory and the charitable sort of acts that we do. What we own does not belong to us. Amir al-Mu'mini says that Allah has put the sustenance of the poor in hands of the rich. So if the rich thinks that, no, I'm not going to sustain, I'm not going to give anything, I'm going to just accumulate greedily, then of course they are going to be questioned. So one of the things which lead people to go to hell, and this is exactly the type of azab, is that they did not care about the needy. It's not only relationship with God, it's relationship with people as well. In Surah Muddathir, there's another conversation. I mentioned one conversation between people of paradise and people of hell in Surah Safat. In Surah Muddathir, there's another conversation that في جنات كل نفس, this is very threatening, كل نفس بما كسبت رهينة, every person is hostage to what they have done, everyone, إلا أصحاب اليمين, except the people of the right hand, those who receive their book from the right, from Elin. They are not hostage of their acts because we have forgiven it. And now they are in paradise. No more hostage of their acts. on the day of resurrection, on those stages, they may have been hostage of what they did, but now when they come to paradise, they are free. Everything is forgiven and forgotten. So, كل نفس بما كسبت رهينة إلا أصحاب اليمين في جنات. They are in gardens. يتساءلون عن المجرمين. تساؤل is conversation. They have a conversation with the criminals. Again, I said, people of paradise and hell, they can converse with each other freely. Because their everything, dimension, time, everything is different. You want to see someone you see in front of you. Just like these science fiction films, you see that suddenly they from one place they are in another place, for example. So, يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ الْمُجْرَمِينَ مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرَ. How did you go to Saqar? It's very strange. We were sinful as well, but now we are in paradise. What happened? How did you go there? يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرَ. قالوا. Now they answer. It's very interesting. These people of the hell are very submissive there to people of paradise. Whatever they ask them, they answer. قالوا لم نكو من المصلين. One would think that the people of hell should say, that's none of your business. We are here now. Don't talk to us. But apparently they have to answer. They have to answer whenever they ask them. قالوا لم نكن من المصلين. We did not pray. This is the connection with God. We didn't have it. ولم نكن نطعم المسكين. We did not feed the poor. You see, these two combined together would take someone to Saqar, to the depth of the hell. قالوا لم نكن من المصلين ولم نكن نطعم المسكين. وَكُنَّا نَخُوذُ مَعَ الْخَائِذِينَ. We played around our life. We just finished our life playing, entertaining, and our life finished. وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بَيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And of course, we were saying there is no judgment. That's why we live the way we lived, of course. And then it says, فَلَيْسَ لَهُ الْيَوْمَ هَهُنَا حَمِيمٌ. They have today, of course, there is no friend for them. So these two, Alam أَقُلْ لَكُمْ لَوْلَا تُسَبِّحُونَ. Tasbih here is a proactive tasbih. It's tasbih by action, not tasbih by tongue. You did not regard what you have as property of God. You thought that this is yours while you are just someone who is the sort of doorkeeper of this. And secondly, you did not want to give any share to the poor, and this is not doing tasbih. So tasbih here, the relation with the connection with tasbih and what they used to do is now clear. The second question, which I asked last week as well, that if this was their property, and they didn't want to give anything to anyone, why were they punished? Is it a punishable act that I have something, I want to keep it for myself, I don't give anything to anyone? Apparently it is. It is if there is someone needy and I have extra, then it is my duty. The property belongs to Allah. Now there is obligatory, which is zakat, they have to give. Apparently these people didn't want to give their zakat, so to speak, and they were punished. And there is, of course, extra charitable sort of things. The third question is, okay, what's the relationship between their story and the people of Mecca? Because we don't have such a thing there in Mecca. The verses before said that inna balawnahum kama balawna ashab al jannah. We tested them the way we tested the people of garden. And we are going to punish them in the same way that we punish the people of the garden. So what's the relationship between these people of Mecca and these people? Now, several suggestions are made here. Now, balawnahum has the meaning of kallafnahum. This is what Fakhruddin Razi mentions. We have made it obligatory upon them to give thanks. And giving thanks, of course, has its implications. Not give thanks with tongue. Give thanks in the way that this ni'mah of the Prophet has come. They shouldn't think that they have the ultimate power. They have to submit. They have to give thanks. And they don't do. Look what we did to those people of the garden. We will do the same thing to them. So balawnahum means kallafnahum. Kallafna haula. And yashkuru, we have made it obligatory for them to give thanks for this ni'mah, the same way they had made obligatory for them to give thanks. Now, for them to give thanks was, first of all, not to regard everything to be solely dependent on them, and then not to regard everything to belong on them solely. That was the sort of active, proactive shukr. For these people also there's a proactive shukr, and that is to respect this ni'mah that we have sent to them, the ni'mah of the Prophet. The second meaning, which is given by Faiz al-Kashani and some other exegetes, balawnahum ya'ani means ikhtabarnahum, we have tested them. Now, the test, what was the test for Ashabul Jannah? Allah had given them abundance, isn't it? They were very comfortable, they were very happy, they were rich. Now these people of Mecca are the same, they are rich. Why they do not listen to you? Because they are rich, they are somehow, they are intoxicated by the bounties that I have given them. Exactly in the same way that these people of that garden were intoxicated by the bounties that I had given them, they did not want to regard anything beyond themselves, whether it's God or people. Now, the same thing is for these people of Mecca. And, of course, we are punishing them in the same way that we're punished Ashabul Jannah. Now, this is the third meaning, which Allama Tabatabai gives in Al-Mizan and some others. بَلَوْنَاهُمْ يَعْنِي عَذَّبْنَاهُمْ We are punishing them in the same way that we punished the people of that garden. Now, people of that garden were punished in the way that the whole fruit or outcome of their effort was destroyed. Their whole property was destroyed. Now, we are destroying the whole ni'mah that we are given to them. They don't realize it now. But by not giving thanks to Allah, by not regarding this ni'mah of prophethood, then of course they are going to be the losers. They would lose whatever we have given them. So this is the connection between the two. Inna balawnahum kama balawna ashab al-jannah means either we have tested them the way we tested ashab al-jannah, we have punished them the way we punish Ashabul Jannah, or we have given them the duty, kallafnahum, that we gave to Ashabul Jannah, and they did not meet, these people do not meet as well. Now, then the following verse, verse 34, says, now, consider this, now come to muttaqin. Of course, in this world, muttaqin may seem to be the losers. They may not have things. They don't care about this world very much. They don't have greed. But look at what will come then afterwards. Inna lil-muttaqina inda rabbihim jannatin na'im. Indeed, for the God-weary, there will be gardens of bliss or blessing, na'im. I'll talk about na'im later. near the Lord. First of all, Jannat, these gardens, have their own intrinsic value, but there is something which adds to their value, which is mentioned in many, many verses, and that is they are near the Lord. Now, nearness to the Lord, we know that no, the Lord doesn't have a physical sort of attribute. The Lord is here now in the same way that the Lord is in paradise or is on the arsh, the same thing. Lord, we cannot say where he is. Where is he? We cannot say that because he has created the space. There is nowhere for him. So when we say endarab behem, means that they have a status. You may be sitting here now, but you may be endarabek, as the prophets, for example, were. Of course, to the capacity of this world. Because when we go to the next world, the capacity would change, the whole thing would change. Then close to the Lord, in the neighborhood of the Lord. Neighborhood of the Lord gives them knowledge, gives them love, gives them power, gives them eternal bliss, and all these things, this neighborhood of the God, of the Lord. Whatever the Lord has, when you are in his neighborhood, he gives you. So, first of all, these gardens are inda rabbihim, inna lil muttaqina, inda rabbihim, jannatin naim, gardens of bliss. Now, jannat of those gardens, you remember we talked about these rivers running in paradise. This is just an example. These rivers are sources of everything. Jannatin tajri min tahtaha al-anhar, the gardens beneath which or in which the rivers are flowing. These rivers are not rivers of water solely. As in Surah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have that there are rivers of honey, rivers of milk, rivers of wine, ladratan lisharibin, gives elation to those who drink it, rivers of water. Now what else we can imagine? Rivers of pleasure. Huh? In the commentary on Noon wal Qalam, it was said that Noon is a river and Qalam is a river in paradise, which is the source of the whole creation. And then he says there are two angels. How could rivers be angels? Because it is a very different world. Now you could have rivers of pleasure, you could have rivers of love, maybe. These rivers running there. Now, these jannat, these gardens, are jannatun na'im. Na'im is blessing, ni'mah. Whatever Allah gives us is a ni'mah, isn't it? Why these gardens are described to be jannatun na'im? Because we know, of course, it's ni'mah. Now, because the concept of ni'mah or blessing in this world for us is a sort of minimal concept, in the sense that ni'mah is always mixed with misfortune, isn't it? Pleasure in this world is always mixed with pain. Happiness is always mixed with some sort of worry, some sort of concern. There's a limit for happiness. There's a limit for everything in this world, for every ni'mah. And also, ni'mah in this world is used in different ways. When we say ni'mah, water is a ni'mah, isn't it? Now, imagine, instead of drinking water, you put water in your ears. What will happen? Huh? Is it a ni'mah? Well, that's very bad, isn't it? It is not a ni'mah, it's a punishment, isn't it? The same ni'mah will become punishment. Now imagine, do we do such things at all? Are we crazy to ever, for example, use water to put it in our ears? Yes, we are. Imagine this tongue. What should we use it in for? Use it in this world for? To communicate, to respect each other, to express our love, our feelings, to praise the Lord. What we do? We swear at each other. We backbite. We sing sometimes unlawful songs. Isn't it? It is exactly putting water in your ears, isn't it? And you can now imagine about many other ni'mah which you are given in this world. You use it wrongly, then it's not ni'mah anymore. It's not ni'mah anymore. It is actually a source for punishment. It is a source for misfortune. That is why in the commentary of the verse in Surah Takathur, وَلَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. On that day you will be asked about the ni'mah. You will be asked. Now, what are we going to be asked about? For example, water. I gave you water and you drank it. How much did you drink, for example? Why did you drink? Are we going to be asked like that? No. Someone was, there was a sort of gathering in Imam Sadiq's house, alayhi salam, and a very delicious date was offered to the guests, and they ate it. They were amazed of how delicious this date was. And someone said, you know, on the day of judgment, you are going to be asked about this date that you ate. Imam alayhi salam said, no, you are not going to be asked about this date. God is more honorable than giving you something and then ask you. It's just like you go to a party and I offer you food and then I ask, how much did you eat? Tell me. Yeah, that's not honorable, isn't it? That's very ignoble. No, God asks you in a systematic way. This is not a sort of conversation. How did you use it? How did you use it? This water, did you put it in your ears? Or you drank it? Now, therefore, nothing is ni'mah. Pay attention, this is very important. Nothing is ni'mah unless you use it rightly. If you use it wrongly, not only is it not a ni'mah, it is a punishment. It is a misfortune. You are given lots of wealth. You make bombs with it, you kill people. Is this good? Is this ni'mah? That wealth is not ni'mah at all, no. It is a punishment for you. So, the true ni'mah is to know how to use whatever God has given to you. That's why when this verse was recited, لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ, on that day you will be asked about ni'mah. We have in many traditions, this ni'mah is wilaya, obedience to God, to the Prophet, to the successors of the Prophet, to know how to use what you are given. So, when we say, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ, there are gardens of ni'mah and blessing, means that ni'mah is real ni'mah. You do not question or ask, how should I use it? You know it. You don't lose your bearing with regards to using whatever you are given. Therefore, whatever is in paradise would give you ultimate pleasure, ultimate blessing in paradise. As I said, unlike this world, it may give us blessing, it may give us curse. I mean, whatever is here. That's why this Jannat is always actually defined as Jannatul Na'im. It is pure ni'mah. It is pure blessing that you use. So, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتُ النَّعِيمِ. Now, we may not have given them in this world. It doesn't matter. This world will finish. This world is something which, if you have more or less, you will, of course, go through a course of tests and encounters, and it will finish. What is important is how we treat you there. So, أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كالمجرمين. Do you think we are making Muslimin? Muslimin doesn't mean Muslimin technically, those who are Muslim. No. Those who submit to God, those who obey God, those who follow Wilaya. Wilaya, don't make mistake. Wilaya doesn't mean love of Ahlul Bayt. Wilaya means obedience of God. And of course, God, we don't know what are His commands. So the obedience of the prophets, which is the obedience of God, and the obedience of Ahlul Bayt. That's why we say, of course, Wilaya is the essence of submission to God. So, أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, do we really make those who submit to the Lord and obey and have wilayatullah, do we make them like kalmujarameen? Now, why this question is made? Do we make them like criminals? Criminals means those who do not obey God. Some people say this is a justification for the Day of Judgment. Why we have set up the Day of Judgment? Because, of course, you cannot be equal. You are different. And therefore, I have to give everyone their own share. But this is actually deeper. It means that every person is defined by their acts, by what they do. And you would not do that when you compare people based on what they do. A murderer and a victim. You don't say, well, I don't judge them. They are both equal. No, they are not. مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. How do you judge them? What is wrong with you? This مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ means you have a judicious faculty. I have given it to you. You cannot actually say, no, of course, in my judgment, everyone is the same. This is also addressing what the kuffar were saying, that if God has given some people a lot in this world, honored them, they become noble, the nobility, you know, we have always this idea of the nobility, some people are noble, some people are mean, laity, something like that. So if some people are made noble in this life, they are going to be honored in the next life as well. In Surah Kahf, we have this story of these two friends, that one of them had a huge garden, the same, almost the same story. And this man said, وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَامَةً. I don't think that there is a judgment day. Suppose, imagine there was a judgment day. وَلَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي إِنَّ لِي عِنْدَهُ لَلْحُسْنَى. If I return to my Lord, I will have the same thing that I have here. He has given me here, He will give me there. وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمَةً وَلَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي. That إِنَّ لِي عِنْدَهُ لَلْحُسْنَى is another verse. This in another surah here. وَلَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. I will be given something better than this. Why? Because He has honored me in this world. You are mean. He hasn't honored you. He has honored me. Now, Allah says, no. In that world, honor is for taqwa. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ, the most honorable, and Allah أَتْقَاكُمْ, is the most pious, the most God-weary of you. So you have this judgment. مَا لَكُمْ, why your judgment machine is broken? مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. And then there are many other questions that Allah is directing towards the kuffar about the way they are judging and the way they are estimating their position and the position of the believers. Inshallah, we'll deal with them next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
Latif khabirun samir basirun jali raqib mujib. صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مسلمين صلوا عليه صل على محمد صح يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه. Yeah.